Well, good morning, church. This last week, I had to go to the eye doctor. How many of you have been to the eye doctor before? I see some of you with glasses, so I know you've been. So I've been going to the eye doctor for a while now. And this last week, when I went to the eye doctor, you know how they put those, you look into the thing, and the eye doctor, at least my eye doctor, is like, you know, better one, better two, better one. Y'all, are you with me? Yeah. And what a confusing thing, because I'm kind of black and white, right? I'm like, I don't really know if it was better or better one or better two. I'm just not too sure. And the more he went on with it, it was just super confusing to me. In fact, I'm like, I said to myself, I just give up. Like, I don't know if it's better one, better two. It just got super confusing, super disorienting to where I felt, uh-oh, this is going to come out really bad. Like, it's going to be a new prescription. It's going to be really bad. In fact, after, you know, he did the better one, better two, he said, wow, what you're telling me today is a lot different from last year. You're going to need a bifocal. I thought, wow, I really screwed up, you know. Just a very disorienting and confusing time. And so if you've been there, you're not alone. There's a guy in Scripture who had a very confusing and disoriented time. His name is John the Baptist, and if you were here last Sunday, we looked at John the Baptist in chapter 3 and how he prepared the way for Jesus in the message that he was proclaiming, that this was the Messiah, the Lamb of God who was going to take away the sins of the world. This morning we're looking at Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And I've entitled this, Blessings in the Wilderness. Did you know that actually in times of being in the wilderness, and what I mean by wilderness are the times, the disorienting times in your life, like going to the eye doctor, the confusing times in our lives where we begin to question, you know, there's actually can be blessings in those times from God. We're going to look at this in the life of John the Baptist, Matthew 11, 1 through 6. John the Baptist was in one of those confusing, disorienting times. John the Baptist, though he prepared the way of Jesus, now here in Matthew 11, he finds himself in prison. What's going on here? Because what happened to this Jesus that he proclaimed as the Messiah, this one who was going to come with holy fire, you know, the Holy Spirit and with fire, and who was going to burn away all evil? How is it possible that he is now in prison? I mean, isn't Jesus going to do something about this? I mean, Jesus is out there while John's in prison. Jesus is just making friends with sinners. He's going to dinner at people's homes. He's healing the sick. And John is in prison. What is the deal with that? I think it leaves John with a question. I think it can kind of leave us with a question at some points in our life, too, when things that are super confusing, times where we just feel lost and we question what is going on. And the question maybe this morning for John, is he going to receive Jesus as God's blessing in his life? And whatever is happening to him now in prison, is he going to receive Jesus as a blessing? And that's the question for us this morning too. No matter what is happening, are we going to receive Jesus as a blessing in our life during wilderness times? Let's look at Matthew chapter 11, 1 through 6. It says this. After Jesus finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Amen. If we were to continue or actually look back in the book of Matthew, we would see that Jesus has so much power that he's displaying. In chapter 8, I believe, we see that he has power to calm the storms. We see in Matthew chapter 9, we see that he has power over death. We see in Matthew 9, 10, 11, that we see that he has power even over demons. He's got a lot of power. We even see that he has power to send out his disciples to evangelize the whole world, and says, I'm giving you the same power. The stuff that I was doing, all that stuff in chapter 8, chapter 9, I'm giving you the same power to do that. But yet, there's a problem that creeps into people of the Bible, and it's a problem that we all deal with today, and it's the problem that John, perhaps John, is dealing with in these just these short verses. It's doubt. It's doubt. We know the religious leaders, as we talked about last week, the religious leaders struggled with doubt. In fact, they just didn't believe. The Sadducees, you know, they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe in the miracles. They doubted Jesus as the Messiah. But here we have doubt in the life of John. I mean, it comes from doubt right here, comes from a totally unexpected person. Why do I say that? Why is it so unexpected? Because remember, John was the one who was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah to be the one who would prepare the way of the Lord. And we read in Luke 1:15, I was talking about it with someone this last week, that John was full of the Holy Spirit since birth. How is it possible, as one of my good friends would say, how is it possible that a guy like John could be struggling with doubt? How is that possible? Remember, when Jesus came, he was there at the baptism of Jesus, and he heard the voice that came on from on high, and the dove, don't forget the dove that rested on Jesus, and said, he heard this voice, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Remember, it was John who said, look, here comes Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So how is it possible? He seems really confident that this is Jesus. How in the world could he be struggling with doubt? But it appears that he is. Should I expect someone else? Should I expect something else? Have you been there before? In a time of wilderness, questioning, should I expect someone else or something here in this situation? The first thing I want to suggest to you this morning is that in those wilderness times of your life, don't let doubt and your unmet expectations determine God's character. Look at verses 2 and 3. It says, when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask, are you the one? Now, why was John in prison? Why was John in prison? Well, we can read forward in Matthew 14, verses 3 through 4, that he had actually been in prison because he had rebuked Herod Antipas, which is the son of Herod the Great. Herod Antipas took his brother's Philip's wife. And according to the Old Testament, in Leviticus 18, it says you are not to marry, you're not to have relations with your sister-in-law. This is not right. Biblically, this is not right. And so he says it's not proper for you to marry Herodias. This is really in the Bible. Do you know that? Herodias. It's really in the Bible here. And so he rebuked Herod for this, and he puts him in prison, and there he is. You know, some of you, well, you're not in prison right now because you're here. But some of you, and especially this time of year, I know is difficult. Some of us might be in an emotional prison. Some of us might even be struggling with depression. Some of us might be struggling with just life's questions. How is this all going to work out? We've all been in these kinds of emotional prisons. And John is in prison. He's saying, wait a minute. I'm not even in prison because I did something wrong. I did something right. I was speaking up for biblical truth here, but yet I'm in this prison. Perhaps he's saying, how could this be all a part of your plan? Have you asked that question before? How could this be a part of your plan? Because Jesus, and I'm just speaking on, I just want to speak honestly this morning, because this is very raw here, the emotions that John is feeling. And I know that we've all been here before. John's probably saying, you know what? Jesus, my expectations of you aren't matching up with my current reality. Because I'm here in this prison. Everything that I've heard about you and you've said about yourself, it's not matching up with where I'm at. He asks a question that I know that we've all asked. It's what the author Philip Yancey has said. It's a title of his book. It's the question that never goes away. You know what that question is? It's why. Why is this happening? This is where John's at. I remember when we were serving as missionaries in Malawi, Africa. We had been there for a year and a half, and our colleague, my good friend, was killed in a car accident, head-on car collision. I mean, we were just young missionaries going to Africa. And I remember getting that phone call that night and traveling 2 hours away from my home to this remote little hospital to where I would have to identify his body and then wait in this parking lot for what seemed like hours waiting for his wife to come, where I would have to tell his wife that her husband was gone. Talk about disorienting times. Talk about saying, Jesus, where are you? Because my reality is not matching up. I thought you were good. This is not supposed to happen. I'm not supposed to be in a situation like this. I'm not supposed to be telling his three little girls that their daddy is not coming home. I'm not supposed to be in this situation. Lord, what is going on? And John says, are you the one? Or should I expect someone else or something else? I wouldn't think John was doubting so much, because John seemed to be pretty confident, like I said, right? In fact, if you look down at your scripture, verse 7, Jesus says this. As they were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. And so he tells them about John. He says, what kind of man did you see when you went out into the wilderness? Did you expect to see a man who would be easily intimidated? Like John knew what he believed and why he believed. He wasn't, you know, wishy-washy. But clearly, he's doubting something. He's doubting. And the scripture doesn't tell us what he is doubting. You know, for most of us, we know who God is. At least we believe there's a God. We might even believe in his miracles, that he did all these things. So John also, you know, he saw Jesus, he heard Jesus, he knew the prophecies about Jesus. So he's probably not doubting who Jesus is. So what is he doubting? I'm suggesting this morning that perhaps he's doubting the plan of God in his life. And I say that because, like I said, many of you believe there's a God. You've seen miracles. Maybe you've even experienced the miracles of God in your life. But at times, when we are in those dark times, we doubt God's plan, maybe God's agenda in our lives. And so John begins to probably doubt that and says, should we expect someone else? Because the evidence that he has about Jesus and his mind begins to fall apart because he's in this really emotional prison and physical prison, and he begins to doubt. Author Os Guinness says this about doubt: to doubt is to waver between the two, to believe and disbelieve at once, and so to be in two minds. In the book of James, James kind of illustrates doubt. When we doubt, when we disbelieve, we are blown and tossed by the wind. Kind of sounds like me during baseball season. I believe the Mariners can win, but I disbelieve at the same time, right? Because they just haven't proven themselves. So when you're in that state of mind, the question is, what do you believe? When it comes right down to it, what do you believe about the kingdom of God? And there's this confusion. And I want to say this morning that during those disorienting times in your life, confusion, don't let your doubt determine God's character. Don't let your doubt determine God's character. Go back to the truth of God's word, because Psalm 33 says God has the power to create from nothing. Don't doubt. Jeremiah 32 says that there's nothing, there's no task that's too difficult from the Lord. Don't doubt his character. Just because you're in this situation doesn't mean that God has changed. Not only that, but God knows everything, right? In Daniel 2:21, remember this one. It says, he determines the course of world events. He removes kings and set others on the throne. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. God knows, friends. God knows. He knows where you're at. Not only that, but part of God's character is that he's merciful. Underline this one. Write this one down. Put it somewhere in your house on the bathroom mirror. Whenever I mention that, there's always these verses that go up in my house when my kids hear that. They remind me. But it says this: God will never relent from showing mercy to his children. God will never relent from showing mercy to his children. So I want to encourage you during this Advent season. Some of you might be in this disorienting time of your life. Don't doubt God's character. In the book by Alan Jones, this book he wrote called Soul Making, he says this. He says, the desert of which I speak, or I would say the wilderness, is a desert of the spirit, a place of revelation, conversion, transformation. It involves being made over, being made new, being born again. In the desert, we wait, we wait, we weep, and we learn to live. You know, I can remember that time when I was in that small little parking lot at that hospital. It was so dark. It was the dead of night. It was a really confusing time. But you know what I've noticed in the days since? Is that during those dark and really confusing times are the times where I just stop and I'm just honest before God and say, God, where are you? And in those dark, gray, even snowy, drizzly days sometimes, where I kind of pull up a chair and open up my Bible and begin to talk with God, the world becomes small. And God becomes big. And I then, and only then when I'm still, I begin to receive the blessings of God in my life. So do not run from those wilderness times, friends. Do not run, because God will meet you there. In fact, John 8:12 has been a verse I've held on to over the years. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. Amen? The second thing I want to say this morning from these short verses is that in the wilderness times of your life, don't let doubt blind you from experiencing the compassionate heart of God. You know, there were so many people in Scripture that were discouraged. that we're walking through dark and desperate times. In fact, in Numbers chapter 11 tells us about Moses. Listen to these verses. You know, Moses was leading the Israelites, and the Israelites were grumbling against him as their leader. Don't you hate it when your children grumble against you as their leader? Those are really hard times. And this is what's happening to Moses, and they're grumbling. And not only are they grumbling against him, but they're grumbling against the God that he had put his faith in. And this is where he's at emotionally. I think we can identify. He says, he asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me?" Aren't these real emotions? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? "Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as an earth carries an infant to the land you promised an oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat, give us meat.'" Right? What am I to do? I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me if I've found favor in your eyes. And do not let me face my own ruin. I mean, this is Moses. This is Moses who parted the Red Sea. Yes, it was that Moses, but even he was discouraged. And the good news of all this is that God does not give up on Moses. He meets him in his wilderness, and he will meet you too. There's one other story of a person who faced incredible discouragement. 1 Kings chapter 19, it's the story of Elijah. Elijah, this prophet of God. Man, it's if you have not read the Bible, read this. This is like a movie. I mean, it's really in the Bible. He kills the prophets of Baal, these evil prophets. But he begins to run because someone by the name of Jezebel wants to kill him. And he begins to run. He begins to get afraid, and he runs. And he runs into the desert, and he finds a large bush, a big shade tree. He's afraid, he's tired, he's exhausted. Listen what it says in 1 Kings chapter 19, 3 and 4. It says, he begged the Lord, "I've had enough. Just let me die." I can identify with that at times. I've had enough. I've had enough of this. I've had it up to here. He goes on to say, "I'm no better off than my ancestors." And then it says, "Then he lay down in the shade and fell asleep." You know, some of us sometimes just need to do what Elijah just did and just be honest with God and just say, "You know what? I've had enough. I've had enough." God wants to give you rest. In fact, that's what we're doing on Sunday nights at 4 p.m., where we come just as a community of faith. And some of us may be like that, maybe Elijah, and just say, "I've had enough." And God meets us there under the shade tree with his word and brings healing to our souls. The story went on to say that the Lord provided him with food, and notice this, he walks for 40 days. He's strengthened by the Lord until he comes to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And it's a long story. There's an earthquake, but there was also a gentle breeze in which God met him there. And it's in that moment where God is able to minister to him alone in his exhaustion and encourages him and ministers to him. The compassionate heart of God. So John is here too. He's in this emotional prison, physical prison. It's here in this place where I think John and us too need to have our hopes reshaped by Jesus. In these times of pain and emotional prisons, we need to have our hopes our expectations reshaped by Jesus. And thankfully, John had enough sense. He had enough sense of who to go to. You know, I was just talking with someone last week who was totally overwhelmed with life. And I simply reminded them, you know what? We do have a source that is much higher than I and much higher than anything else. And his name is Jesus. Thankfully, John had enough sense. Now, he couldn't leave prison, but he could ask someone to go, right? And so he asks his friends to go to Jesus. And I want to say this morning, if you're like Moses, if you are like Elijah, and you're just totally burnt out, you're sitting under that shade tree, number one, you do have a source. His name is Jesus. And number two, you do have friends. You do have people that love you. And you could say, you know what? I'm totally confused and disoriented. Would you help me know God's truth? Will you read some scripture to me? And there you'll find life. Verse 4 here in this passage. I love how Jesus meets John. The compassionate heart of Jesus. Like I said, John was with Jesus. John saw and knew that he was the Messiah. He proclaimed it. And John is saying, are you really the one? You know, you might expect for Jesus to come at John and to condemn him, saying, why don't you believe this? Right? If you've told your kids something and they don't believe you, how do you respond to them? Sometimes maybe you're sarcastic or something, or maybe you get a little upset. Can't you just trust me? But Jesus doesn't do that here, does he? He just says this. Look at verse 4. He just says to these guys, he says, just go and tell John what you hear and see. I mean, it's very loving. In fact, Jesus is pointing him back to truth. Look at verse 5. It says, the blind receive. This is what you're to tell him. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Just tell them. Tell John what you see and hear. I love this compassionate heart of God because he actually points him back to what John already knows. And I know that when I have been in those disorienting times, when I go before the Lord, the Word of God is alive, it's living and active, and I get pointed back to the truth of what I already know and believe about God. I guarantee you, if you're in that moment, just go back to the Word of truth. See, Jesus knows that John is very familiar with these words. Because the prophet Isaiah said these words. These words would have burned within John from birth. He knew these words. Isaiah chapter 35, 5 through 6, it says this. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Can you imagine if you're John? And you're hearing these words, it's happening. It's happening. It's happening just as the prophet said. Not only that, Isaiah 61 verse 2, it says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Wow. John must have taken comfort in these words and said, this is exactly what is happening. What these guys just came back and told me, I already know this. Jesus doesn't condemn John. He gives John words of life and words of comfort. If you're walking away, if you've walked away from the Lord, if you've accepted him already as your Lord and Savior, don't hesitate to come back to Jesus, because he's not going to condemn you. He's simply going to speak the words of truth, grace, and mercy over your life. So, I imagine John is now in this position of, okay, I think all this is happening. I think all this is happening according to plan. I've received this comfort from these guys who've gone to Jesus. I think this is all unfolding just how it should. And I think also in our times of disorientation and in times of wilderness, we need to take a step back and remember Romans 8:28 that says, and we know that in all things, what does that word all mean? It just means all. That in all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. And so go take your doubt to Jesus and have him confirm what he has already said hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago about himself. Don't let your doubt blind you from the compassionate heart of God. The third thing this morning, look at verse 6. In times of wilderness or dry times or in the desert places of our lives, don't let doubt keep you from God's blessing in your life. It reads like this: blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. In some of your Bibles, it might say, blessed is anyone who does not take offense because of me. You know, this word blessing is an important word. In Matthew's gospel, it represents God's mercy and his grace. In fact, if you read Matthew chapter 5, it's known as the Beatitudes. And you'll read that word over and over again, blessing or blessed, or blessed are the merciful, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed, 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 blessed. You'll read that. I was thinking about that and how it's all blessed, blessed, blessed. And then he says, blessed are the peacemakers. I was thinking about this. You know, this has more to do with not just doing activity for God, but this has everything to do with the blessings of God. These are words of assurance, friends, that in times of trial and tribulation and times of wilderness, that actually we can experience the deep blessing of God. The deep blessing of God. But the opposite side is that we could be offended. We could be offended and say, God, why is, you know, well, I can't believe this is happening to me. This is not right. This is not what I believe about you. I've got all these unmet expectations. I'm offended by your plan in my life, and I'm just gonna give up. I'm just gonna go my own way. And that's the question that faces us every day. Are we going to be offended just because we don't understand God's plans? Or are we going to run to Jesus in those times of wilderness? How will John receive Jesus? How will you receive Jesus in your life? Will you receive him as the reality of God's blessing? Or will you take offense and go your own way, especially during times of trial? Let me close with this as the worship team comes forward. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, blessed is he who can be left in prison, can be silenced in his testimony, can seem to be deserted of his Lord, and yet can shut out every doubt. Friends, don't let your doubt determine God's character. Don't let your doubt blind you from missing out on the compassionate heart of God. And don't let your doubt blind you from missing God's blessing in your lives. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? Lord Jesus, if we are all honest this morning, we have doubted your plan. And God, we know that your word tells us that your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher than our thoughts. And so, Lord, I pray for us this morning that we would not be afraid of being in the wilderness, lost and disoriented, but rather, Lord, I pray that we would stop and we would pull up a chair next to you. We would open your word that brings us life. And God, you would confirm to us all over again who you are and who you want to be in our lives. Give us faith to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.